Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Ang guest natin ngayon ay isang anak ng jeepney driver na nag-graduate na college valedictorian ng Ateneo de Manila University noong taong 2019. At ngayon ay isa siya sa mga boses ng jeepney sector ng bansa, lalo na tungkol sa dinidebating modernisasyon ng public vehicles. Si Haya Bendanya. Magandang araw sa iyo, Haya.
Magandang araw po, Sir Howie. Salamat po sa pag-invita.
At salamat, no? Salamat sa napinaunlakan mo kami kahit busy-busy kayo ngayon. Matagal na akong interesado sa background mo, Haya, no? Medyo unique. Anak ka nga ng jeepney driver, pero nakapagtapos ka sa elite university na Ateneo at the top of your class at naging president ka pa ng student government doon, yung Sanggunian, no? Obviously, naging very integrated ka sa community ng Ateneo. Pero may panahon ba na may feeling kang out of place nung estudyante ka? O sa umpisa pa lang may confidence ka na magtatagumpay ka doon?
Nakakaloka naman po ang ating mga tanong. And more so, salamat po sa nag-research. Gulat po ako sa information. Ako po, Sir Howie, nung una talaga, ako ay stressed coming into college. So yung lola ko po at that time, namatay po siya kasi po yung hospitals refused to operate on her dahil sa aneurysm, dahil wala po kaming down payment. So coming in the Ateneo, madami po akong galit sa lipunan. At syempre, mas tumitindi yung galit kapag nakikita ko yung pagkakomportable na mga schoolmate ko, yung tipong 1,000 kada araw, 2,000 kada araw yung baon. Meanwhile, you know, 5 days of those baon could have saved my lola. So, madami po yung galit. And I think I was very troubled coming in. Not because I was afraid that I will be out of place. That was never my concern. But more of, galit ako sa realidad na nakikita ko and how I contrast it with our experiences on the daily basis. So, admittedly, it's not, you know, it's not your usual college sentiments na gusto ko mong fit in. No, it was never my intention to fit in. I was just angry.
So, ngayon, no, active ka sa social causes, no, kasama nga sa mga issue ng jeepney sector. Noon pa ba pangarap mo nang gamitin ang galing mo sa mga issue ng lipunan?
Not necessarily, Sir Howie. I think what people need to realize ay kapag pinalaki kang mahirap, your goal is not automatically to save the world because you experience poverty. Your goal is to get out of poverty. Your goal was, you know, to save your family. Your goal was to find a better future for yourself. And I did not start, you know, active ako sa social causes. Nag-rally po ako since I was 7 years old. But it was not because I wanted to join the social cause. It was because, kabuha na yun ang tatay ko, the intention was selfish, even if it was a social cause. And admittedly, that's because people like me are pushed for survival. And when you're pushed at survival, that's your priority. So yun po yung status ko, parang growing up, it was really never to advocate and be a hero. It was always because I wanted better for my family. It just so happens now when I grew older, I realized that poverty has different faces. And my story of poverty is not a unique story. And the struggle is not individual but systemic. Doon po ako nagsimula mag-advocate for bigger social causes. But I did not start wanting to save the world. I did not start wanting to save the Philippines. I just wanted to finish school and give a better life for my family.
Pero syempre, no, advantage mo na naranasan mo yung mga issue ng mga jeepney driver at yung sa mga sector associated sa transport, no? Paano yun naka-influence sa choices mo?
Yung pinakauna po siguro, never kung gustong mag-fit in sa Ateneo, I think that's the first sign. Never ko pong kinahiya na jeepney driver yung tatay ko. Everywhere I go, I always tell others na ang tatay ko jeepney driver. Nung pumasok po ako sa Ateneo, I was actually in the School of Management. So, minsan sa dinner table, ang pinag-uusapan, lalo na if you meet the parents of your friends, ang pinag-uusapan nila ay ano yung negosyo ng pamilya mo. And, you know, they would make around kung ano yung negosyo ng pamilya mo. Textile, tiles, export, yun yung mga negosyo nila, palayan, rice mill. Tapos pagdating sa akin, never ako nag-iimbento ng kahit ano or nagsasabi na, eh, kung sabi, a jeepney driver po si Dada. And it will always make the room quiet. Because then, ang kinareact nila, di ba? Usually, so, sino yung pag-business partners nyo? And everywhere I go, I always say that. Naalala ko po, actually, nung first time po na nag-viral ako, quote-unquote, is not because of the graduation. It was in 2017 when Ateneo refused to cancel classes during a nationwide jeepney strike led by Piston and ACTO. At nag-galit po ako noon kasi hindi ko naintindihan kung bakit hindi magka-cancel ng klase yung Ateneo when there are commuters inside the university, etc. So yun po yung first, you know, first time I posted, first time I became popular. May anak ng jeepney driver na nasa Ateneo. And I think that was influential in my decision because I never look at things the way my schoolmates would. And I hindi ko alam, Sir Howie, if matatawag mo siyang advantage, yung fact na lumaki ako sa sector. Advantage siya sa akin, but also at the same time, advantage siya in a way na hindi ko kailangan ng klase sa sociology. Yung mga tiyo-tilo para maunawaan ang struggle ng sector on the ground. Hindi ko kailangan ng immersion. But also, for a lot of poor people, being with the sectors or growing up in poverty is something that they want to be alleviated from. But I am proud of my origin and I will always be proud of telling my story.
So, umpisa pa lang, after you graduated, naging active ka na sa sector?
Depends on what sector, Sir Howie. Kasi po, but I am active in advocacy movements. Nung graduate po ako, I work in Jesuit Refugee Services as a humanitarian worker. So, anti-sex trafficking po and sexual violence yung ginawa ko directly after graduation. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020 at nagkaroon po ng nationwide public transport strike, saka po ako bumalik sa sektor para mag-aktivo. Not really bumalik kasi I never left. It's just that at that time, you know, as a woman who grew up in poverty, I have many pain points. Hindi lang po siya transport, but also public health, also education, also sexual violence, etc. So, yun po yung nauna kong ginawa. And then, I moved to public transport.
Okay, so, dito sa kasalukuyang modernization program, no? So, yung isa sa mga nirequire ng gobyerno, mag-consolidate nga yung mga jeepney operators and drivers, no? Katulad ng iyong ama, no? Ano yung perspective mo rito? Well, first of all, yung father mo ba ay sumali sa isang cooperative or corporation as required by the government para magkaroon ng franchisa? And ano sa tingin mo ang status nitong isa sa mga unang hakbang ng modernization?
Sir Howie, gusto ko pong ikwento na kasama po actually yung tatay ko sa unang batch na na-phase out. So, alam ko po ngayon 2024 na, pero nawalan po ng kabuhayan yung tatay ko 2017 during that time ng jeepney modernization. So, hindi po nirenew yung prangkisa niya kasi hindi roadworthy yung sasakyan niya. So, even gusto ko na po linawan sa lahat ng nakikinig na hindi po ngayon yung unang batch ng phase out. It has been happening ever since the government, you know, phase out jeepneys, ever since it was actually passed as a formal policy. So, kasi mula na po silang hindi mag-renew ng prangkisa. Hindi lang malawakan, pero it did not start in 2023 or 2024. It started in 2017. And for one year, yung tatay ko po ay kolorum. Siya po ay bumabiyahe ng illegal kasi po kolorum. Tapos, siya po ay bumabiyahe sa mga eskinita na usually walang MMBA or police na manghuhuli. At usually during alanganin na oras na walang nakaship. Na-face out po yung jeep namin 2017. Isang taon pong kolorum sa Dada. Umuwi po siya 2018 when I was entering fourth year college kasi wala na po talagang trabaho sa Manila. So bago po ako graduate. So hindi po siya, Sir Howie, nasama sa current na usapin ng consolidation. I think many of our jeepney operators and drivers, ganun din po. But going back to your question, Sir Howie, tingin ko po, in the long term of things, meron pong saysay ang pagsasaayos ng reforma at ng sistema ng public transportation. Pero hindi ko po sure kung dapat consolidation yung unang hakbang doon. Ngayon po kasi ang ginagawa ng gobyerno, kinoconsolidate niya lahat, pero hindi pa po sure kung ano ba yung mga rutang gumagana. Wala pa pong maayos na demand projection kung gano'ng ba kadaming units yung kailangan sa bawat ruta. Wala pong malinaw na capacity sa LGU kung paano ba planuhin yung transport routes nila. Kumbaga po, consolidation is part of the reform, pero hindi po ata dapat siya yung nauuna sa reform.
Okay, ayon sa datos nga ng Department of Transport, about 70% daw ng operators and drivers ay nakapag-consolidate, meaning nga, miyembro na sila ng cooperative or corporation, no, as required, no. Tinanong ko na paano yung 30%, di ba tayo kukulangin ng mga public vehicles, no, sa lansangan? Tinanong ko si Secretary Bautista. Eh, sabi niya, yung 30% na yon ay malamang hindi na talaga kailangan. Gumawa rin daw sila ng study showing na there are really too many jeepneys anyway. So yung 70% na nag-consolidate should be enough to service the demands for commuting ng mga pasahero. And kasama daw doon sa 30% yung maraming non-roadworthy na mga jeepney at saka iba pang public vehicles na dapat talaga hindi payagan na bumiyahe sa lansangan, no? Ano yung pananaw mo doon sa ganung statement na hindi naman talaga kailangan yung ganung karaming vehicles na hindi nakapag-consolidate?
Sir Howie, and on the record, Sec Bautista, medyo kasinungalingan po yun. Hindi po marerebut na kahit anong study na ilabas ng Department of Transportation yung katotohanan na ang haba ng pila sa mga terminal. Na madaming mga commuter na naghihintay ng 3 or 4 oras sa pila para lang makasakay. Na madaming commuter na umuwi ng 12 midnight at kailangan bumising ng alas 4 ng umaga para makarating sa alas 8 na lang pasok. Dahil hirap sila sa pila, sa sakay, sa waiting time, sa travel time. Hindi kailangan ng, alam mo yun, study, kung ano man po yung sinasabi ng Secretary Bautista to show that there is a lack of public transport supply on the ground. And you can see it in the commuter lines and in the everyday na siksikan yung mga jeepney at yung mga bus, including buses and MRT, iba't ibang transport supply at iba-ibang transport supply na yan, iba-ibang transport mode. Lahat sila cramped, overcrowded. And, you know, and you will tell us as department secretary na over yung supply. Hindi. Kulang yung supply. Hindi niya kaya i-answer yung current demand.
Well, actually, of course, tinanong ko sa kanya yung tungkol dyan na, you know, the lived experience of many commuters is different, no? Mukha talagang kulang, no? However, he was saying nga na kasama doon sa modernization yung pag-rationalize nga ng mga ruta. Pag naayos na raw yan, kasi nga may mga ruta daw na talagang kulang yung sasakyan. Kulang sasakyan, yung sa ibang ruta naman daw, sobra. So pag na-rationalize daw yon yung allocation ng mga public utility vehicles ay dapat sumapat yung dami at mag-correspond nga doon yung supply at saka demand. Yun ang isang maging objective daw ng route rationalization, no? Maayos nga yung distribution para hindi maipon sa isang bahagi lang yung mga public utility vehicles.
And that was their promise since 2017. And in the past 6-7 years that they committed a route rationalization study plan, the national government did not deliver. So, sure, pwede po siyang mangakaulit for the next years, pero hindi po sila nag-deliver eh. So ang tanong po namin actually from the sector, from the coalition, and ako po as anak ng jeepney driver ay, bakit hindi niyo unahin yung 6 years po nilang deadline na route rationalization plan before they start consolidating and phasing out jeepneys? Kasi po right now, ang nakikita ko po, Sir Howie, gusto nila i-phase out yung mga jeepneys because for them, there's an oversupply, but not really understanding which routes need more demand and less demand. Or more supply and less supply, and then doing the consolidation accordingly to that. Feeling ko po they're doing it the wrong way and just, you know, trusting na, oh, after consolidation, magkakaroon naman ng route rationalization after we phase out the old units. So when does that happen? Because they've been saying that since 2017.
Kasama din dun sa modernization, of course, yung replacement ng mga luma o tsaka yung old model na jeepneys with new models, no? Ano naman ang tingin mo at saka ng mga ibang advocates tungkol dito sa planong ito? Papalitan yung traditional jeepney with so-called modern jeepneys, air-conditioned, safer daw at more economical, less pollutive. Ano yung tingin nyo sa mga detalye ng plano na yun?
Yung pinaka-bare minimum po, Sir Howie, na kailangan ng transport commuters, ng PUV commuters ay meron silang masakyan. So, if transitioning to modern units will decrease public transport supply at mawawala ng mga sasakyan ng commuters, it is not helping. Modern units po, alam mo yan, parang later on we can transition to it, but it's not the first priority. The first priority should be to reform and fix the system, and then the units can follow. Because even the government, I'm sure you've heard this probably from Ken, Sir Howie, even the government does not have the money to finance and subsidize. So they're committing subsidy lahat ng transport supply natin na mag-modernize whether they want it or they don't. So kahit po sabihin natin na lahat ng transport workers, okay, game! Class tayo ay mag-modernize sabay-sabay. Wala pa rin pong pera ang gobyerno to give at least 25% of the subsidy cost. So, I'm not sure kung bakit sobrang passionate sila about this when they don't have the money. The government has no form of sufficient support to actually push the transport workers to transition, even those alone who are willing. Kulang na kulang po.
Of course, you also agree na kailangan talagang i-reform nga yung public utility vehicle sector, no? So, tingin mo, what should be prioritized? How should it go? I mean, kailangan talaga tayo mag-modernize, no? Bilang so in transportation and so many other things, no? So, paano dapat?
The grievous mistakes or how I think that the government did is to try to modernize and to implement a national program that they have no capacity to implement everywhere all at once in the Philippines. Lahat. From Basilibay, yung mula, Batanes, hanggang Bulo. Ayan, lahat gusto nila implement. When they have no budget for it, when they don't have staff and manpower to implement it, when they don't have legal mandate, no budget to actually finance everything. I think, Sir Howie, that whatever the government plans step by step, which I can discuss later, can happen, but it has to start with pilot routes. It has to start with pilot LGUs. Na number one, willing yung LGU to help them implement the program. Number two, that the cooperatives and the transport workers in those particular area are willing to join the program. And number three, that the government is willing to finance those particular reforms that will happen. Madami po kasi parte yung PUDMP, hindi lang naman siya modern vehicles. Kasama dun yung terminal, kasama dun yung accessibility, wheelchair ramps, kasama po dun yung maayos na commuter display system para sa mga tao na mayroong disabilidad. So, madami siyang proseso, madami siyang aspect. Bakit tinatry? Ang ginagawa po kasi ngayon, okay, one aspect of it, cherry pick tayo, and then let's implement it all over the country. I think what would have been a good implementation, Sir Howen, it's not too late to do this, is to select pilot LGUs or pilot outs and implement the full concept of the PUV modernization program. Tutalgin lang naman yung budget na meron yung government ngayon together with service contracting program. And then see how they can improve the implementation as they reiterate. Saka sila mag-scale up because Philippines is such a big country. It has such a complicated transport system because we are an archipelago. Ang daming sanga-sanga. May habal-habal, may tricycle, may pedicab. Hindi siya kagaya ng ibang transport system na gusto nilang i-follow, like Singapore, for example, our system is much more complicated and is very contextualized. If you want to find a way to do it and reform the system, kahit sabihin mo pang baguhin din yung units eventually, you have to start with pilot implementation routes. Kahit sabihin natin 3 years, start tayo halimbawa sa Cebu, or Naga, or Iloquino, or Quezon City, or kahit saan na gusto niyo i-implement, go Davao.
Yeah, pag pinag-uusapan itong mga national policies that will affect the whole country, you know, no matter what sector. Madalas yung lente ng gobyerno at mga katulad ko rin, journalists and yung mga influential sectors, ay ang lente namin ay Metro Manila, no?
Correct.
So itong mga ibang conditions na sinasabi mo na talagang kulang, overcrowded, sobra na yung traffic, talagang kulang yung services para sa commuters, no? That's the common experience of people in Metro Manila, no? I'm just wondering, how true would that be everywhere? Kasi, yun nga, di ka naman tiga Metro Manila, no? Tiga Albay ka, and you're currently in Albay. Ako, I live in the province na rin ngayon, no? Paminsan-minsan na ako pupuntang Metro Manila. So, iba talaga yung sitwasyon, no? Are there places in the Philippines that you've heard of or you've actually seen that are doing a good job in terms of public transportation and can serve as a model? and can be a good place to do these pilots na sinasabi mo nga, para hindi lang Metro Manila tsaka problema na Metro Manila yung ating lente.
So I think some time back, Sinaga City actually passed a resolution na gusto nila na mag-implement ng service contracting program ng government. So part siya ng PUBMP, just, you know, help us with co-funding it and then we'll implement it in the city. And there are also those, I think Manila Lakad din po ang Cebu and si Quezon City under Mayor Joy is implementing service contracting in their own parang terms as well. So there are willing LGUs already. I think kailangan lang din po i-open ang national government impossibility to make it happen. So sa amin po, halimbawa, Sir Awis sa Albay, actually, wala dito naniniwala sa PUB modernization eh. Parang for us, well, for one, wala kasi kaming MMD. Wala dito nanghuhuli, di ba? So for us, the threat of PUBMP is not as felt as compared to Metro Manila na alam mong may MMDA nahuhuli sa'yo sa stoplight. Dito wala, wala namang stoplights dito eh. So there's no dream threat. That's why yung sinasabi ko nga po kanina, meron lang namang ilang bilyon yung gobyerno to implement it. Why not invest kahit 10 syudad pa yan just so we can start it? And important to Sir Howie because right now the government is facing strong resistance, especially from the groups of Manivela and Piston. And those resistance are warranted. Those resistance are, you know, they're not unfounded. It's hard to trust a regulatory body to implement a program that's good for you when all this time, all they've done is punish our jeepney drivers and operators. And I'm saying it as someone who grew up in the sector. Alam ko po yung madaming ipit, madaming kung ano-ano na nangyayari. It's hard to trust them that they have our best intentions in mind. So the goal is not to force them to go into the program because that's what the government wants, di ba? Parang we will go into the program regardless and let those who are left at the margins continue to be at the margins. It is the end of the line for them. I don't think that should be the response. Naniniwakala po ako na alam at hindi naman, alam mo yun, hindi naman, alam ng transport workers ang mga kabuti para sa kanila at sa mga pamilya nila. And if we show them what the future could be and we show them that, you know, you can trust this program, they will come around.
Itong binanggit mo na service contracting system sa ibang LGU, paki-elaborate nga, anong, why are you speaking about that in positive terms? Bakit, ano, bakit magandang sistema yan?
Lumaki po kami, Sir Howie, sa boundary system. So, di ba, yun yung sistema talaga ng public transport sa bansa. So, as a lived experience po, yung tatay ko, nagbumabiyahe siya na alas 4 ng umaga. So, 8 hours yun, from 4 a.m. until, I think, 12 noon, para lang maka-boundary. And, you know, that is his boundary. And then, nakain siya, 12 to 1. And then, from 1 p.m. onwards, saka lang siya kukuha ng actual income niya for himself. So, and for the family. I think he goes, parang yung time na yun, ang take-home niya is between 800 pesos to 1,200 pesos per day. It seems, you know, so much more than minimum wage. But inang oras po siyang bumabiyahe, ang tulog niya lang ay 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. He's been, you know, nasa kalsada siya 19 to 20 hours a day to meet the quota. And even then, people like him grow old. So sila Lolo Efren Malonga, who is still driving jeepney and FTI terminal, grow old to continue the same system because wala na lang SSS, PhilHealth, pagbibigay, lahat ng social security. So they're stuck in the system. Service contracting po abolishes the boundary system. So ang konsepto po niya in ideal implementation, Sir Howard, has been done in different areas like Iloilo. Ay, the government contracts a cooperative to run the route for them. And then partially po, nakasubsidize yung pamasahe. So it keeps fares affordable and absorbs the cost of fuel hikes. Kasi para naman talaga yung taxes natin eh. While at the same time, paying our transport workers a decent wage, a living wage, based on the kilometer run. Yung nangyayari po kasi ngayon, kaya siksikan, kaya nag-overload, kaya unahan, etc. is because jeepney drivers have the every incentive to get more passengers. O, sampu-sampu-sampu po, meron pa yan, gilid-gilid pa, usod tabi. So diba, that's what they do. Because you earn based on the number of fares. But yun po, parang it has a higher possibility of vehicles leaving the terminals on time because you are compensated based on the number of kilometers you run. And the government subsidizes that services.
Gusto mo i-clarify yung current system, no? Because most people don't know this system. They're just passengers, no? Yung boundary system. Most jeepney drivers, they are drivers for an operator, right? The operator can own one or more jeepneys and then they have drivers working for them and they just collect the boundary nga, and then yung excess doon sa boundary ay napupunta doon sa driver, right? So I'm assuming wala itong kasamang benefits, there's no like health insurance, there's no retirement plan under this boundary system. Talagang parang freelancer ka. That's the system.
Tama po. Tama, Sir Kawi. And I think a lot of it is because individual po kasi yung nangyayari. Parang individual transport worker, individual operator, tapos kanya-kanya sistema. Bahala ka kung saan co-op mo gusto pumasok. Kung kami po naghahanap kami ng rutang papasukan, bahala kami kung saan mag-a-apply na ruta. And to be fair, Sir Howie, alam po tinatry siyang quote-unquote ayusin ng gobyerno ngayon and ang solusyon nilang hinahain ay consolidation. Pero the problem na masyadong madaming individual transport workers and operators tapos bawat ruta ang dami-dami nagda-drive minsan, it's not the transport workers' fault. It's because of the government's failure to actually project and plan the franchise application to our jeepney drivers. Kasi po kami, pag-upti lang kami, tapos binitigyan kami. Pero wala siyang criteria na, alam mo ba, sa Malabon kulang pa ng jeep, dun ka na lang sa Malabon, wala pong gano'n. Kami po pipili, tapos bahala na kami.
So under the, itong service contracting system, you really need to be more organized, no? Yung mga operators and drivers. Sabi mo nga, the cooperatives are the ones that are contracted, no? So under this system, ito na, nakasama rin to sa modernization program, no? But you're saying, yung ibang LGU, ginagawa na ito. These cooperatives would provide benefits for the drivers, no? They would be given, yun nga, maybe health insurance, you know, a retirement plan, benefits. They wouldn't be like freelancers na talagang yung kita nila depende lang sa kayod and hours and the number of passengers that they'll pick up.
Yes, I think, Sir Abe, important to clarify. And of course, that's an ideal system. And we know over history that there are cooperatives, businesses, corporations which violate labor laws. So it's not going to be a perfect system. But at least in this model, it's easier for government to regulate and enforce labor laws. It's easier for individual drivers, for example, to demand social security to legal entities like cooperatives, which they wouldn't be able to do with individual transport operators.
So sa ngayon, karamihan ng jeepney drivers ay walang SSS?
Wala po. Wala. Wala, sir. Si Papa po, nag-retire siya as in, naglakad po ako ng SSS ngayong January. Ngayon niya lang po ulit nakuha yung number niya. Ganon, Sir Howie. And my father is what? Turning 50 years old this March.
Okay, yung, alam mo, pag sinabing jeepney, ano, many people, many Filipinos think of it as an icon and not just a public utility vehicle, no? It's an icon, it symbolizes our culture, our country, you know, it's part of our heritage, etc. So means yung iba nagre-react doon sa modern type of jeepney that's being discussed, no? Yung iba aircon, yung entrance at saka exit nasa side na, imbis na nasa likod, no? So yung mga pasahero ay hindi na magkaharap, no? Nakaharap na sila doon sa driver, no? Sa section ng driver, no, etc. So there's a bit of sentimentality, you know, attached to the jeepney, kaya yung iba parang nagre-react sila doon sa mga bagong design na nakikita, no? Ikaw, you've been immersed in the sector, yung anak ka nga ng jeepney driver, you know, do you attach a similar sentimentality to yung traditional jeepney? Are you just as sentimental as many about yung the colorful jeepney, yung may mga kabayo doon sa hood and may mga, you know, the colorful signs, may mga pangal, mga nakasulat doon sa side, you know, there's a whole jeepney font, no, jeepney style of art, no? Sentimental din ba yung mga nasa sector mismo tungkol dito sa traditional jeepney?
Sobrang laki, Sir Howie, but it's not because of the arts and culture that a lot of commuters, you know, and heritage preservation advocates are advocating. It's because a lot of them has had their jeepney for their entire family life. So for example, Sir Howie, yung jeepney po ng tatay ko, may pangalan siya. Ang pangalan niya, pangalan ko, Rizal Hyacinth, nakalabi doon. And he bought his jeepney, nakuha po namin yung jeepney niya. Niloan namin siya on the day I was born. So birthday ko po yung jeepney, April 1, 1999. And we celebrate my birthday with that jeepney. And ever since, nakatali po yung kapalaran ko at ng jeepney sa isa't isa. Lahat po ng graduation ko, maniba nung college graduation, jeep po yung service namin. Whether na-experience na po namin itaboy sa parking lot kasi jeep, tapos formal event. Pero lagi po yun, jeep yung service namin. And the only reason hindi siya nangyari ng 2019 is because na-phase out nga po siya. So bawal siyang kahit private bumiyahe sa kalsada. So there is a lot of sentimentality. And I think that's also the reason, Sir Howie, why there are jeepney drivers like my dad who were phased out, na instead na ibenta yung initial offer ng gobyerno na may scrappage fee na 80,000. That was way back in 2017, 80,000. My father, kahit na gipit na gipit kami nun at baon sa utak, he would not sell the jeepney for a scrappage fee of 80,000. Inuwi niya po sa probinsya, nagmaneho siya mula Manila hanggang Bicol. Nandiyan po, kasama namin yung ship ngayon, naghahakot ng nyog, naghahakot ng, ano, ng saging, ng kopra, yun yung ginagawa ng jeep. Kasi for him, that's his lifetime partner. Partner niya yun sa pagtaguyod ng pamilya. And that's true with many of our transport workers, especially po yung mga tubong probinsyang pumunta ng Maynila.
So, sa tili, umaandar pa yung jeep na yan kasi sabi mo nga, it's as old as you are, no? So, it's an old vehicle, pero umaandar pa.
Correct, kasi po wala pong MMDA sa probinsya.
Oh, nasa sa inyo pa. Kahit mga bagong sasakyan, nagbe-breakdown, no? Hindi mo na magamit. Pero yung inyo, umaandar pa. And
it's... Naghahakot ng bigas.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Siyempre, maganda rin yung pag-maintain ng tatay mo ng jeep na yan. For it to last that long.
Nagsiselos po yung nanay ko kasi pero feeling niya mas mahal yung jeep kaysa sa nanay ko. For tenure po yun, Sir Howie. And gusto ko pong i-emphasize, Sir Howie, yung tungkol sa probinsya kasi I think that's a lot of the resistance is also coming from. Madami po kasi, yung tatay ko nag-loan kami noong 1999 para po makabili ng jeep. It took us like 7 years to pay off that loan completely. But Sir Howie, madami po mga probinsyano ang binenta ang lupa nila sa probinsya para maka-afford ng jeepney when they move to Manila. So for them, sobrang laki ng sentimental value ng jeep na yun and you can't just let it, you know, phase it out just because. That's the reason why the resistance is so strong. And for the sake of my father, nung entire high school ko po kasi until third year college, yung tatay ko po nakatira sa jeep. Hindi po siya nagrenta ng apartment kasi sobrang gipit namin nun. Yung bayad ng apartment na irarenta niya, binibigay niya na lang po sa aming mag-iina. And he's not alone in the terminal na nakatira sa jeep na may duyan lang tapos doon nakalatag sa baba. Madami po sila. And many of them, Sir Howie, are probinsyanos na ang mga pamilya ay nasa probinsya.
Wow, ang ganda ng mga kwenta mo. Nakakahanga. Magpapaalam na kami. Haya, I know you're busy. You need to rest. Pero gusto namin magpasalamat sa iyong oras at sa iyong pagbabahagi. Salamat sa mga kwento at paliwanag. Haya Bendanya, anak ng jeepney driver, Ateneo Valedictorian at ngayon kumikilos para sa sektor ng mga jeepney driver. Mabuhay ka, Haya.
Salamat Sir Howie. Thank you po.
Thanks for listening, Podmates. Download this episode so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Stay safe, Podmates.